Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this May 28th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Maloff, behind the mic, and we're welcoming into our studio, Kayla from the Family Center. Kayla, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate the time, Kayla. I'll let the audience in on a couple of things behind the curtain here. For one, I am a board member of the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center, and always like to journalistically put that out there, as well as Kayla and I usually do this over the phone. So it's the first time having you in studio, I believe. It's great to have you in studio. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to getting into the conversation with you today because this month is Supervised Visitation Month. Can we talk about what that is and what that means to kind of start things off?
Sure. Yeah. So this month we are specifically focusing on awareness for nationally, the supervised visitation. Our program at the Family Center provides this service. We also do supervised exchanges. Of course, this is something that should be talked about every month of the year. The Supervised Visitation Network, which is actually a worldwide organization, has designated May as the month where we put more focus on these services, just to make communities across the world aware that they exist, because a lot of people aren't familiar with these type of services in their community. So we're just trying to shine a light on that and to get a bit more word out to people that might be in need.
Yeah. When it comes to, we've talked about this with the Family Center a lot, the statistics about how it's virtually impossible for somebody out there to not be touched by domestic violence, whether it's 6 degrees of separation or it's closer to you than that. But with that being said, I think sometimes I do this where I think some of these terms or some of the things that we talk about in board meetings or what have you are common knowledge. I think it's a great opportunity to be able to focus on that, give people some insight into this world. If you haven't been in this world, that's great. That's a good thing. That's okay. It's just this is not only a chance to create some knowledge, to learn something out there, but to create some empathy and give some understanding to these situations that families find themselves in, and really be able to do something that I think I know that in the years that I've talked about domestic violence with friends, with community members and such, one of the things that we all tend to do right away is talk about abuser and victim. And we almost stop right there when this affects so many others. And most important, I don't know about most, to me, most importantly, obviously, just speaking for myself, the kids that get in the middle of this. And this is an organization looking out for them. This is an organization that is trying to make these situations be a neutral party, a neutral third party, and just be somebody who is there to kind of navigate that.
Absolutely. And we know, from studies that children, when safe to do so, maintaining contact with both parents is what's in the best interest of the child. So there could be situations where there might be some safety concerns, or the parents are working out some complex issues with custody, divorce, things of that nature. So they do need a spot where they can still see the child or children, but not have contact with the other parent.
Right.
We're there to really provide that space and that neutrality that so that parents can still maintain a contact and relationship with their children, because that is very important for the child's development and throughout their lifetime. If they have those healthy and secure relationships with their parents, that is when that can happen, and that can happen safely, that is what's going to be best for the child. So our location is a spot then where, we help to facilitate that.
Like a lot of people out there that have gone through divorce, my ex-wife and I didn't end great, and we had some years there where we were a bit a cat and dog. Over the years, we learned that whether we truly were great friends or not, the more we communicated, the better it was for our kids. And so over the years, we have actually become friends again and stuff and have a good relationship. But that stemmed from wanting the best for our kids. And I think a lot of divorced couples or families might see this. But this is just as integral, this stage of it, or this version of it, if you will. And it's imperative that we acknowledge this and talk about this some and the depths of it too, because I think that most of us would think right off the gate about this, well, it's great, it's always good for a kid to be able to have the relationship with both parents. But that what this does for them internally and everything is also a thing that gets brought up in the conversation that I wouldn't have thought of right away. It's not in that situation before.
Yeah, because I'm obviously parent or kids that can have a two-parent involvement in their life statistically are going to be less likely, to get involved in dangerous situations, do drugs, not drop out of school, et cetera. Yeah. So it does have more of an effect than just the immediate situation that they're in. It does affect what the course of their life looks like after this separation or divorce or the household splitting, whatever that looks like, how that's navigated affects, what the rest of the child's life looks like and the rest of their relationships. So it is very important for parents, to not put children in the middle, talk negatively about the other parent. However, sometimes when things are fresh, that's difficult. So that is why, places like ours, we do we do exchanges as well. So it's not, a visit at our facility. It's just a pick up and drop off, the weekend, week on, week off, whatever the schedule might be. If the parents might not be at a spot in their life where they're able to communicate effectively, or they just feel it would be better if they don't, then we're there to help facilitate that for them.
It's such a difficult position to be in such a gray area position, but it's so appreciated that the work that you, that this organization does, it goes so far. It's truly an investment in our future. Because we're talking about our kids here. We're talking about kids. We're talking about the future here. We're talking about something that impacts all of us. These are kids. These are people that are going to grow up and impact our society, are going to work in our society. This matters to your community. There are no more of the days of, well, this doesn't affect me in my household. It affects all of us. And the more you know about these things, the more you're aware of them, the more understanding you can have, not only for people going through this kind of thing, but also I think understanding the work that the Family Center does and why we fight so hard for you guys and why we want so much for our community to back you. And I don't have to fight that hard because the community really does. Community has your back. And we love seeing this, but we always want more and more. And we always want more and more people to understand the message and what is going on here. And this change in our society from when we were born to now, it's light year difference. And that's a great, and it's an improvement, but there's still work to be done.
Absolutely.
The awareness of the supervised visitation program, why is this crucial in promoting understanding and support?
Yeah, so we want to make sure, of course, as we talked about, that we can reach people that might not be aware, whether that be community partners or people in the community that know somebody, like we talked about, that might need these services. A lot of times you'll get people supervising visits or exchanges for parents that are family members or friends, and that is always, gone into with great intentions. However, the reality of that sometimes often can get messy and can put, that well-intentioned person in the middle. So they might not be aware that, their situation would qualify, to come and use our center. It doesn't need to be court ordered. And I think that's probably a big misconception too. Certainly we take court ordered cases, but if somebody is, just in a situation where they would rather not have somebody, close to them involved in the custody or the visitation side of things, and they want a neutral party to do it, we don't need to have a court order. So that is something we do try to get the word out about as well, that if people recognize that, they're in a situation that could go a bit smoother and they want a voluntary give us a call and try to set up services, we do that as well. So with the Awareness Month, we just want to make sure that we're highlighting all of the services and so that people understand the different ways that they could come into contact with us and get services going.
Yeah, it varies from it's a wide range of things that you guys offer with this service. So it's great to be able to talk about them, touch on some of this stuff that a lot of us may have not known about otherwise. Again, creating that empathy, creating that understanding in our communities about this subject, and also as much as we're getting better and better with this, I don't want to normalize too much how great we are. It is in this day and age to be having these conversations and not in a hushed voice and not in a sense of that we more than ever people are getting behind this cause and getting behind these things and wanting to understand and know more about them. So the conversation here we're having is great just on that alone, let alone some of the other information we'll be able to get out there. Speaking with Kayla from the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center, and Kayla, the Family Center is a member of the Supervised Visitation Network. Is that true?
Correct. Yes. Mm. I want to say there's about 800 members worldwide, so different organizations. So I want to say almost every state, I want to say 49 states in the U.S. Have organizations that are members. But this is a unique organization in that it does focus on, what we do, the visitation side of things. That's their main overreaching focus. So we get a lot of intensive programming and opportunities, for training, certification, that kind of thing through this organization, networking opportunities, being able to talk to other professionals that do this work. There's not a lot of agencies in our area, in general, that do this. So it's nice to have that network of people.
With that network, are you guys able to share, certainly not private information or anything, but data? Or, hey, this really helped. This is really working well for our center. You guys might want to try this. Or just being able to share data with each other and thoughts, or even a shoulder at times.
Yes. Yep. So they're very good about that, having that kind of there's work groups and there's different coalitions you can be on. And there, there's always people that you can reach out to and ask questions and say, if you're thinking about, maybe a way a policy could be done better, to better serve clients, and you want to see what might work best for other agencies, you can kind of put feelers out there and get some ideas on how to improve your own program. So certainly any kind of professional network like that is really important.
Yeah. It's a tough scenario. There's no getting around that. These situations that these families are in. Every little bit that we can do to kind of ease or help or at least just make things, for lack of a better word, smooth as they can be for these kids, for these families, is so vital to not only their mental health and their well-being, but to our communities, to these, everybody involved, including you all at the Family Center. It's integral for all of those things. It's a great organization to learn and to know more about. The Center for Judicial Excellence, that you had some stats from that I wanted to touch on, if you don't mind, sure. If we can get to.
I don't know that I have that.
I
can paraphrase it.
I'll go ahead and read it here and you can paraphrase. Okay. So the Center for Judicial Excellence found that more than 950 U.S. children were killed by a parent or parental figure since 2008 in circumstances involving divorce, separation, custody, visitation, or child support. If that was one kid, that'd be too many, let alone 950 kids. It's hard for me to say. It hits me. And it should. That number shouldn't be something that just comes in one ear and out the other to anybody out there. There's a reason for this organization. There's a reason for what the Family Center is doing. And this is one of the number one reasons right here.
Correct, yes. And unfortunately, that number is probably higher than what they have there. They got most of that data from publicized events and things they could find news stories about. A tragedy and something that, we try to, we do have our center set up to try to mitigate a lot of those risks. We have security measures in place, a thorough, intake process. We have processes that we do to try to make sure that, it's as safe as possible for all parties. which is obviously very important. When you hear a stat like that, we want to make sure that we can make it a safe environment for everybody involved.
Yeah. Again, we're speaking with Kayla from the Family Center. And Kayla, with the little extra time we have here, did want to take a moment to touch on a subject, attachment styles, when it comes to this.
Yeah, so we talked a bit earlier about how it is in the best interest of the child when it's safe to do so, to maintain contact with both parents and have that consistency. And what that ends up leading into can be their attachment style later in life. So we develop what our attachment style is in relationships, so how we interact with others. Early on in our life. Yeah. So there are secure attachments and there are insecure attachments. What we want to strive for, for our children are those secure, healthy attachments.
Yeah.
However, sometimes, when there is not, that both parents being involved consistently, or suddenly there's a shift in dynamics, that can shift that attachment style. So maintaining contact, like doing visits, even though it might not be, what either party is wanting to do, is so important for that child's development, but also how that's going to affect the rest of their relationships throughout their life. So later on, when they're even in friendships or their romantic relationships, that all of that is affected by the attachment style that develops in childhood. And that kind of comes about by children, learn if their needs are going to be met or not, and if there's going to be consistency or not. So if there is a parent that is not there, they see sporadically, they have a time scheduled to see them, but they don't show up. They learn that they can't count on that parent, for their needs to be met. And then that leads, into, unfortunately, issues later in life, relating, to others as they move through their life in their relationships. So with that said, once again, being able, to have that consistent contact with both parents is setting that child up for the best possible start that they can have.
Yeah.
And in developing, hopefully, those secure attachments with both parents, even if, they're going through a situation where they're not seeing the one parent as much as they used to.
Yeah. Regardless of what might happen with you and your partner, your job as a parent never changes. They come first. Their well-being comes first. And even in these kind of scenarios, that doesn't change. That is so vital and so important to and especially when it comes to these attachment styles, which I don't think a lot of us have really dived into much and thought of much or heard much of. So appreciate you taking the time with that and taking the time with us and hanging out with us, Kayla. I really do appreciate it. We're looking forward to having the Family Center join us a little bit later in June. We're going to be talking fundraisers with them. That'll be a lot of fun. Very much looking forward to that and talking about some of the great events they have coming up. Kayla, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more, should we just encourage them to check out the website to reach the family, reach you that way?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So go ahead and check out familyctr.org. That's familyctr.org. If you haven't done so already, be sure to bookmark that webpage, familyctr.org. Also encourage you to follow this Family Center on social media. It's a great follow, great way to keep up to date on all the things that they are doing over there. And of course, keep in mind that the Family Center has your back. They have a crisis line that is available 24/7, 715-421-1511. That's 421-1511. Again, thanks for the time.
I just wanted to give my direct number as well,
because
that will go right to the visitation program. We have a few different numbers.
I didn't want to put you on the
spot.
Yeah,
no, that's okay. We do have a few different numbers, so just, if they want to, if they have any questions directly. Our visitation program phone number is 715-424-6185. That's 715-424-6185. And I also do want to say, too, that if anyone in the community, whether it be a potential community partner or just an interested party in the community mm-hmm. wants to call and set up a time to pop in and see the facility, see what things look like, have some questions answered, see what the layout is, mm-hmm. You know, what kind of space we have, what activities we have for the kids and their families. We can always facilitate that. So anyone is more than welcome to give us a call, and we can set up a time for anyone to stop in and you know, get a bit more personalized experience mm-hmm. and see the space a bit more.
It's very good to know. Thank you for that, Kayla. And say hi to everybody over there for us. We appreciate the work you all are doing. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.